This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb, and today we're talking with Sean D. Tucker, who really needs no introduction, but just in case, he's been an airshow pilot for about 30 years now. He's won just about every award that there is, and the airshow season is just starting up again for him, and he's got a brand new airplane. So he's going to tell us a little bit about that and what he's got going on this year. And Sean, thanks for talking to us today.
I'm glad to be here. And I got to tell you, I do have a brand new airplane, Mary, and I have my hands full. It's like learning to fly all over again. And I'm so excited about it because technically I'm challenged as an airshow performer to learn to fly this machine. And I'm loving every opportunity. It's just something else. It's just so much fun. To, you know, my old biplane, it's kind of like I felt like I reached the end of the internet and I couldn't get anything more out of her. And with this new flying machine, I have so much to learn. It's just incredible.
So you built this airplane totally from scratch over the winter, right? And can you tell me what's different about this airplane compared to the one that preceded it?
Well, my team built it in conjunction with Steve Wolf and a gentleman by the name of Tony Horvath. Steve designed the airplane. This is the second one that is flying now. Weitch Coleman built the first one. And what's different, I still have the 8 aileron wings, which I love, and the wings are so harmonized with the sky. It's perfect. But the fuselage, the tail, and the way they got the efficiencies making a brand new 3D, I call it a 3D tail, allows me to do these cool little three-dimensional tricks, you know, little front flips and little back flips that only the model airplanes could do before. And it's just a blast to learn how to do this in a full-scale airplane. So I'm basically flying a model airplane tail, which is very, very unique in that I have a big surface area on the elevator and a smaller surface area on the horizontal stabilizer with lots of deflection, almost 50 degrees each way up and down versus 29 degrees. And the airplane just performs. I mean, it's, how do I say this? I have a little over 200 flights in it since we got it, the permission from the FAA to demonstrate it. And I am just touching the tip of the iceberg on how to fly the machine. I can do everything in my old act. I'm adding new figures, new maneuvers as we go along. And it's just a huge challenge for me, technically. Huge challenge, because I'm basically flying a model airplane that's really full scale.
Now, can you give me an example of some maneuvers you can do now that you couldn't do before?
A biplane could never do a front flip before. Never do a front flip. But I'll do 2.5 outside snapples on the vertical upline, stop it, and just kind of tap the stick forward at a little below 60 miles an hour. The airplane just does a front somersault, just a complete, beautiful tail-over-nose somersault. A biplane never could do that before. I just learned how to fly this thing in the inverted flat spin. I can with just the ailerons alone, I'll be doing an inverted flat spin. The nose is up well above the horizon, more than any airplane I've been in, and it was frightening. At first I'm going, holy, well, actually I said, holy crap. This thing, am I going to be able to get out of this thing? Because the nose is so pointed, is pointed well above the horizon, and I'm doing this flat spin, and I can stop the spin with aileron alone, not getting rid of the power, and fly away. I mean, there's so much control authority; it's just unbelievable. Twirling through the sky, kind of cartwheeling through the sky. I can do now 3 cartwheels through the sky, whereas before I could only do 1 cartwheel through the sky. I mean, there's so much to learn that, and the thing is, I have to preface this that there's also, because it's a new flying machine, it has extreme performance on the tail surfaces, that there's always a dark side, and sometimes it'll hook up, and it was really kind of counterintuitive how to get the airplane flying again, because before you just kind of relax the control pressures and it would fly. When you get in trouble, when a maneuver would hook up and start falling out of the sky. Well, now the machine, if I don't actually get the elevator and the horizontal stabilizer in trim, it won't fly anymore, and it'll stay there. So I have to get it flying before I can put any inputs in. What's cool about that, once you get your muscle memory established, as you're falling straight down out of the sky, they call that a waterfall in a model airplane maneuver, and you're just descending vertically down, not spinning, just descending vertically down, nothing's flying, the tail stalled, no control at all. Once I learn how to control that and get it instantly flying, it'll be a cool maneuver. But I don't know if I can accomplish that at the low-level environment this year. A lot of these figures I'm doing up high, and I have to do them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times to make sure I understand where the dark side is in that particular figure, where it could potentially kill me in the low-level environment. So I preface all this saying I'm so excited. It's doing some incredible figures, and it's a lot more dynamic. It's a lot faster than my other flying machine, but you really need to take baby steps, and that means hundreds of flights. I have a little over 200 flights on it now. I'm fully expecting I'll have 700 flights, aerobatic flights on the airplane before the end of the season, and it's just evolving as we're going. It's really a blast. The way we have the seat set and the rudder pedal set now, I'm able to sustain and have more G's because I'm laying back, and so the G's are not as debilitating as they used to be, where I'd be fatigued after two flights. Now I'm able to fly four times a day, and each time you go flying, you learn how to do something, and it's been a great journey. I mean, especially at this point in my flying career, to be on a new journey with a new flying machine, I'm totally excited.
Wow, so I guess we'll be seeing some new stuff going all through the summer and even into next year. And I guess this plane was really built right around you. It's built to fit you basically like a suit. And one thing I was wondering about, you mentioned that the airplane has 8 ailerons. Can you just briefly explain how that gives you control?
It's so funny. Steve Wolf he's a master designer. Curtis Pitts was his mentor, and I've been working with Steve for years. And one year, I wanted full span ailerons, but there's so much adverse yaw with full span. It really never worked in flying the biplanes. And so he says, let's try 8, and we'll have maximum deflection on the outboard ailerons and little differential deflection on the inboard. Well, now with the super motors we got, these super high-performance motors in the low-speed, high-alpha, high-angle attack environment that we're learning to fly in now to accomplish a lot of these figures, like model airplanes, I have control authority inboard now because I really have no airspeed outboard. So now I have control authority with my inboard ailerons that allow me to maneuver the airplane safely in below the 30-mile-an-hour range, high alpha inverted. And that's another cool thing. This machine is a high alpha range. I do a Harrier pass in front of the crowd, high alpha upright. The inverted Harrier that I'm working on is just unbelievable. It sustains more lift, much more stable, and much more controllable. And if it does stall out, it recovers a lot much more quickly. The challenge for me is to think, having the technically to think as well inverted low to the ground as I do upright low to the ground. And again, another journey. It's going to take time, but all these things I'm working on, and it's all about patience. And I think, like you said, through this year and for sure next year and probably the year after, I think with about 2,000 flights on the machine, I will own her. But right now, she owns me. But and but that's fun. That's fun. Every time it costs, I only fly for about 25 minutes per flight, and you know, with gas is expensive. Everything's expensive nowadays, and every time I sign that bill, that $60 it cost me to go on a practice flight, or the $75 it cost me to go on a practice flight, is money well spent, because I'm just not going through the motions anymore. I'm not just doing the routine. Every time I go out, I'm learning again. I'm learning how to be a better aviator. I'm learning how to be a better air show performer. I'm learning how to be one with my machine. And where the wings, you become connected to it, where the wings become your arms. And so I can't wait. I'm on my way to the airport right now, and I can't wait to get in this machine.
Oh, that's great. Now, I understand that you've also worked really hard to get the weight down, you know, on this airplane. And why is that so important?
Performance. You know, when it's light, it goes faster. It goes higher. And speed is life in this game. And it's my team, Brian Norris and Clyde Green, who've been on my team for years and years and years and years, really made a significant effort to get the weight down. And we're down 1,228 pounds, which is really, my last biplane was 100 pounds more than that. But we didn't sacrifice safety. We utilized some different materials. This is a flying tail, like an extra monoplane. This is truly a flying tail. It's a carbon fiber tail. It's not just a flat surface, like where you put fabric over it, like the old biplanes. This is really state-of-the-art stuff. And so we have more carbon fibers where we could put it, more titanium where we can put it. But still, it's you know, I still believe in wood. It's still wood spars, wood ribs for the wings, and wood is strong, wood is forgiving. So I still utilize fabric. I believe in fabric. That I think is so important. There's a tactile sense that I get with fabric on the wings. I think I feel the air a little bit better in some of these maneuvers. So I get a better nuance for me. So it's we're combining new technologies with still the old technologies. Still love flying wires. I still like, you know, hearing those flying wires sing. So you really see, an uninitiated eye couldn't tell the difference between the two flying machines till they watch it fly. And then there's a significant difference. I think it's at least a 30% better performing machine than I've ever flown in my life.
Can you just give us an idea where we can find you, or where people can find more information about where you are on the web?
Oh, if you go to teamoracle.com, all our shows are listed. My next show, it will be in Providence, Rhode Island. Then we go to Dayton, Ohio. Then, of course, my favorite spot of all time, and that's AirVenture. I mean, that's where we all get together to share our passions for flight. And and I'm hoping to really peak by AirVenture, because I'm so excited to debut the machine there, because, well, you know, that's the greatest week for any aviator's life, because you're with light, you're in your family. That's the EAA family, and it's just a wonderful experience.
Okay, great. Well, I know you're in a hurry to get to the airport, and I appreciate you taking some time for us. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Well, I think it's just a beautiful summer. I just hope everybody, you know, I always say, let passion be your fuel when you're flying, and, you know, make good decisions. That's what it's all about. So God bless America, and it's nice talking to you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.